If you don't mind, for the first, I'm going to give you a PowerPoint presentation, which walks us through this learning framework. And I'd like to spend the best part of 15 to 20 minutes on that. And then I'm also going to run a resource that I've been developing over the past 6 months at Centre for Learning Innovation that takes on board the principles from this learning framework. So you've got something to see that demonstrates how it might look in an online environment. I'm just going to quickly walk you through some background to the learning framework. I'll also explain some of the educational principles and thinking underpinning the learning framework, how it segues into this multiple learning, multiple pathway approach, I should say. We'll be looking at the benefits of using the learning framework and, in particular, some of the possibilities of how it might be used within LAMS. So can I just start by saying the framework is particularly suited and was originally designed for vocational education resources. Can I just see a show of hands of people in this room who are coming from a schools environment? Right. If that's the case, I want to first explain something. When I'm talking through the learning framework, I'll make mention of the fact that the design is used to get across a unit of competency or a topic. Can you just appreciate that courses in TAFE, New South Wales, are made up of units? And within each unit, the expectation is teachers and learners have to grapple with the elements of competency. That's the next level down. So in other words, it's probably equivalent to learning outcomes from a school's point of view. And then underneath that, we have another level of curriculum, and that is what we call the performance criteria. So you'll hear me talk about the lowest level, performance criteria, the next level up, element of competency level, and then the level above that, the unit of competency. So please be aware, there's a tier happening when I'm talking about the application of the framework with vocational educational resource material, in particular for delivery in TAFE New South Wales. Look, just very quickly, the principles underpinning the learning. Over the years, over the last 6 to 10 years, I've been doing a lot of research. I've been trialling these sort of notions in TAFE online projects, as well as being involved in special research projects. There was a LearnScope project that I was involved with. There was a TAFE quality improvement project that I was involved with. And this framework has sort of adapted and sort of taken on changes over the years. But essentially it's trying to, it's harvested a lot of ideas. And that's just basically to give you a sense of what underpins. And it also takes on board the thinking from the three schools or theories of learning, from behaviourist, cognitivist and constructivist. And as you can see here, behaviourist for teaching facts, cognitivist for the processes or how, and constructivist for sort of personal applications and real life learning. And there was also quite a lot of research and knowledge about learning preferences and learning styles that's gone into an understanding that underpins the design. So here it is. Here's basically the eight dimensions with their associated design elements. And I'll just spend a few minute or so on this. It moves through intro or preview, define, read, connect, listen, watch, explore, practice, interact, collaborate, apply, and finally reflect, review. Now we're going to spend a bit of time looking at those specific design elements, so I won't sort of get too bogged down in looking at them now. I like this image to, in some ways, encapsulate what the learning framework is trying to do. As I said before, it's got all this underpinning theory and thinking that goes into it. But it strikes me this image kind of captures the order and the chaos, you know, that yin and yang that can probably is always something that a learner grapples with. So it's something that you pick up at any point, and you get caught up in the swirl, and at some point you get tossed out the end. What I'm trying to suggest here is, at any point in time, it's easy to get the impression that the framework is lockstep, but that's not obviously the intention. The idea is that at any point, these assets, if you like, that sort of fall under these categories, these dimensions, are disaggregated and can be treated as a separate entity. But obviously, when they're treated as a whole, it enhances the student learning. So let's look at the individual elements. The first one, the intro preview, we're trying to set the stage for purposeful learning, the learner getting the big picture, giving the learner the navigational tools. So basically it's about helping the learner to effectively plan their learning and realise what strategies they might engage with. Some of the elements then that get covered with this intro preview is an explanation of the learning purpose, what you'll learn, and this information is captured word for word out of the training package descriptor, in other words, the curriculum document. An outline of the learning topic by way of a map, so there's a visual representation of what a learner might be moving through. As we'll see when we demonstrate, a focus audio so that at the very start, the learner is getting some sort of sense of, you know, what a real-life practitioner might do with this knowledge. So there's an expert talking to them. And there's a follow-up exercise from that where to guide them in their learning. And they're also expected to create their own study plan, and there's also a list of resources. So this, as I said before, this is the warm-up stages. Moving along to the next element of the learning framework, the define. Basically, this is about a student engaging with a glossary, but we're going to call it My Definitions, because this is a working document that the learner needs to engage with at their level. In other words, so the exercise, as we'll see in a minute, requires the learner to actually pay particular attention to the key terms, rephrasing the definitions in their own word, and referring to that document at various points in their learning. Moving along to the next dimension, the Read Connect stage. This is where, as you can see here, reading and translating ideas from the unit or the topic, and the learner needs to actively process that information and make sense of it. These readings then would have reflection exercises or questions for the learner to sort of have some engagement with the content. But it's basically about building a scaffold, keeping the learner motivated. As you can see here, the design elements, the student is sort of taking their own notes, whether that be through a mind map or a thinking map, whatever. The reflection questions keep them engaged. So at any time with this learning framework, we're trying to raise the confidence level of a learner and keeping them motivated. Moving along to the next part of the framework, accessing quality, emphasis on quality, video and audio material. Multimedia resources. TAFE New South Wales now allows access to YouTube. There's a wealth of video and audio recordings that are available from the ABC site. Some of them you can go in there and download to your own computer. Others you've got to play from the site. using their built-in player. The listen watch design elements, so you'd give the learner some information about the title, the source, the length of the resource. And also it would be useful to provide some sort of focus question to guide the learner as to what they're going to be looking at, what and the reason for engaging with that. Or there may well be a follow-up exercise where you want the learner to sort of take on board what they've seen and do something with that knowledge or understanding. Explore practice, part of the framework, is where we have in the Read Connects an emphasis on theory. Here we now have an emphasis on practice. And as I said before, the readings are pitched and these activities are pitched at the performance criteria level, the lowest level that a student would engage with in terms of the course or unit structure. Now, these questions or activities may well be as simple as a question and answer, but as you'll see in the demonstration, they'll also involve interactive work as well. So you might be asking the learner to answer the questions, to find information, go to the internet, collaborate with fellow learners, discuss issues, and so on. And this is where the learner practices these skills. The next part of the framework, interact, collaborate. The idea here is really for teachers to set up some sort of learning community where interaction can happen between the teacher trainer and the student themselves or between the students. So that network is happening. So this might involve forums, it might involve chat, collaborative exercises, it might involve something like a role play. From what we've heard on the discussions at today's previous sessions, Skype can be used, MSN, text messaging, setting up surveys, for example, might be the sort of thing you do at this point. Moving along to the apply dimension, and this is where we've moved up a notch. With the Read Connect and the Explore Practice and the Listen Watch, we've pretty much been based at the performance criteria level. We've now moved up a notch. So the workplace task takes an overarching approach to the learning. It's going to have some sort of practical, real-life workplace application. So it's going to involve some sort of solving of some particular problem. It might also involve the student completing a quiz, and it will also involve the student sort of going to this My Briefcase section and any templates, forms, documents that have been used at any point in the learning that can have some sort of transfer app to a real-life workplace, the student can get their hands on those documents, those resources, and save them to their own computer. So this apply section could be the basis of some sort of problem-based approach to the learning. So with the elements, the workplace task is intended to help the learner synthesise and apply their learning in this realistic situation. The quiz aims to help the learner be prepared, competent and confident for sitting an actual test event, and as I said, the My Briefcase is for them to capture and download and store on their own computer any documentation that they feel might be of benefit for them in the long run in their real workplace. The reflect review dimension, where the student is going to validate and reinforce themselves that they really are learning. The review stage will basically ask the learner to check off whether or not they feel they've met the performance and knowledge skill levels. The reflecting is basically via a learning journal where the student can can encapsulate what they've achieved, what they've sort of gained from their learning. So these design elements, as you can see here, the review, you're wanting the student to sort of make up their own summary of what they've done, the my review, ticking off how well they're related to this material, do they know it well enough to advance, and the reflection through the journaling, questions such as what a learner, they need to ask themselves what they do and don't understand, have they understood the purpose of the activities, has their learning really been effective, and the strategies that they used, did they achieve what they set out to do? So it's also possibly a point where a learner might have to sort of face reality and say they've got to go back and do some relearning. So moving away from the framework itself now, we're moving into some of the benefits, some of the value, what you can do with the fact that you've adopted this learning framework. Primarily, it allows you to take a multiple pathway approach through the learning. And I'm using the terms guided, coached, and mentored. But this morning at one of the sessions, you might recall, there was a similar sort of approach used, and they talked about task-directed or task-guided or task-autonomous as the three levels. So the learner would need to obviously relate and speak to their teacher trainer about how best to move through the learning. How am I going for time? Oh, yeah. Jeez, that's happened quickly. All right, let's hurry along. There are three pathways. I've just missed the first one, which was, I'm not going to go backwards. There's the guided pathway, there's the coached pathway, and there's the mentored pathway. And can you appreciate what's happening is a teacher, a learner in consultation with their teacher can now say, well, what do I really need to cover to meet my learning needs? And the teacher can advise them, and they might say, well, if you're a learner who is reasonably autonomous, and then you've got a reasonable grasp of this unit or this topic, I might suggest to you that you only need to complete the apply section. In other words, you only need to complete this workplace task and submit that to me. And the teacher holds the feedback for this, and they can give the learner an individual response feedback, and that can determine whether or not they're in a position to move straight on to the assessment event. So, quickly, the value of the learning framework. Can you appreciate that with this multiple pathway, there's a scaffolding happening here. The readings provide scaffolding for completing the activities. The activities provide scaffolding for completing the overarching workplace task. The workplace task is only a stone's throw, a hop, a skip, and a jump to completing the assessment event. So some of the benefits. This personal outline for connecting important ideas and building references for the learner, encouraging learners to manage their own learning and helping the learner guarantee that they're on the right track. Some uses of the learning framework. Okay, you can use it as a template if you like. And the terminology and the headings actually become part of the learning design. Or alternatively, you might use it as a construct when you're developing a resource, so that when you're talking to your writers or subject matter experts, you've got this common language of communication. It can also be used to validate, especially with training packages, content, activities, the workplace task. And to the next point, the assessment event. So some of the possibilities of how it might be used with LAM. This activity-centric view of the educational process. Can people appreciate the learning framework? The bottom line is everything you do is an activity. You structure everything in such a way that it is a learning event. And with a hypermedia approach, I know that's not a term used anymore, with a hypermedia approach, you now have the functionality to, a learner now has a choice over what level they want to go to. So in conclusion, I don't see that this is really breaking new ground. It's basically just a backward sweep and taking on board what good practice has been sort of, I guess, fallen through the cracks over the last 10 years of this rapid period of e-learning development that's taken place. So I guess for me, the bottom line is the framework takes very complex theory and just basically strips it bare and makes it nice and simple. We've got 5 minutes, and what I suggest we do, there's all the references, and there's my contact details. I'll take questions, and at the same time, I want to demonstrate this product. Ah, here we go, beautiful. Wrong way. This is a project that I've been working on, as I said, for the last 6 months or more at Centre for Learning Innovation. I'm only going to demonstrate just this one unit. I thought I was going to demonstrate this. Okay. Okay. So, while I'm walking through this, if you've got questions, we've got just less than 5 minutes to go. This is a project, Cert 3 in aged care, that CLI has been working on. The first thing you'll notice I want to show you is there is a simulation that's happening in the background here, and basically it's got, it's just a nice little package. It's got clients and staff at this Gravilia aged care facility, and you get various characters, and they're all in a cartoon format rather than using actual photos. But let's go back here. So as I say, you've got this welcome section, some sort of overarching introduction, and there's that map that I was talking about. Notice how it's giving that student that visual picture of what they're going to be working through. The glossary, just a link here to a Word document. Okay, this is what we're talking about. The skills and knowledge, the intro preview, the read, connect, listen, watch, explore, practice, apply, and the checking stage. As you can see here, scrolling down, there is this audio that gets the student to focus on the skills required in this work, and there's the reflection exercise that follows. So just moving right along. Read Connect, link to a Word document. That's all it is. Listen Watch, link to either, in this case, demonstrations of materials, and then some of them are interactive, or alternatively link to websites where they can listen to or view multimedia files through the beauty of things such as YouTube. Explore practice. Here's where you get your hands-on activities. Some of them are just sort of drag and drop. Other times, it might well be, let's try this one. As I say, some of them just drag and drop, but Let's move on to apply. In this case, we see a quiz. But the other part of the apply section is sitting over here. We've got the workplace task. And this is opens up as a Word document. And it's just basically giving them a set of tasks that they need to perform in relation to a scenario that's drawn from the Gavilia Aged Care Facility. And the My Briefcase, well, in this case, they didn't have any documents or performance to draw from. So that's about it, folks. And this is where you get to the last section. So we've got a minute or two for questions. CLI develops resources that sort of meet standards and accessibility for transfer. We have a learning resource repository, and institutes, colleges go to that site and they download the resources, and then they're in the position. They have the controlling hand over what they will do with it from that point of view. Most of the institutes in TAFE New South Wales use Moodle as a learning management system to display this sort of these resources.
So it's like a learning object?
Yeah, it's taken a learning object approach. The people who are from schools, if you're not going to ask questions, I'm going to ask questions. Have we got time, James, to ask a few more questions? Sorry. In this particular design, you're quite right. The interact collaborate hasn't been built into it, and I was told not to do that for this particular course. But I'm hoping, you know, in next year, if we ever do anything like this again, that interact collaborates. Because I was told that is the job of the institutes and the teachers. They do that sort of thing. But I would like to think that could be built into perhaps the facilitator guide or the trainer guide, that sort of advice as to how to run a forum and what sort of questions might suit this particular unit of study. So
you, at the beginning, you said that, you know, there's the behaviourist, the cognitivist, and the constructivist stream. This looks very cognitivist to me. From a cognitivist,
I would have said it was very behaviourist, but it's a mixture of everything. See, as I think I tried to explain in the beginning, I haven't tried to lock down one. All I've done is draw the best features and qualities of the three theories and bring them all together to make a patchwork. So it's all of them. All of them. I haven't tried to lock it down and say it's definitely cognitivist or definitely behaviourist. The people who are from schools, is there any app? Can you see the use or application of it in schools?
The difficulty with schools, I think, and I have a view that may not be shared by others, is you don't want generic content. The richest learning is when the content within a sequence is negotiated or even created by the students. And so that's always the problem with content that could be used by anyone. It's actually used by no one because it's good, but it's not exactly what I need for my clients.
And from what you're saying, the opposite is what's happening in TAFE at the moment, where you've got a greater, there's far more part-time teachers, and therefore they don't have the time to do the lesson preparation. So therefore having something like this that they can just draw on and they pick the eyes out of it.
And the curriculum in TAFE is different. You've got your statements of attainment and you've got your competencies you have to meet. And so, you know, curriculum has a lot more flexibility in it.
Naturally, in schools that offer VET, you know, that does have embedded modules, you could definitely use something like this. In my context, there are plenty of VET subjects offered.
Okay.
SIVT would be a little bit.
So for VET in schools, learners of a let's say year 11 and 12 age group could handle that? Because there's a lot of self-directed, independent learning skills built into this. You don't think so?
It depends on the student, yeah. Obviously. But there'd be some that is an answer. There'd be some that couldn't. There'd be some that couldn't. Yes, some.
Yeah, can I just reiterate that? There is a huge amount of expectation on the learner being in control, the driver's seat, having the maturity and, having those skills to be able to sort of work with this on a one-to-one basis, or perhaps ideally be part of a study group, but still having that individual contact with their teacher, whether that be whatever system's used, from email to phone calls to MSN to whatever. Well, that's me wrapped up. I think we've gone over time. Thank you.